For the purpose of critique, review, and educational purpose, the Shiny Squirrel Podcast proudly presents...
It's time for the Nerdlings Podcast, and I am your senior host, WC Chronicles.
And I am the melted of the mind, Jersey Mike, because summer is well in kick here in Vegas.
And you posted a video on your page about the bumper through the monsoon rains.
Monsoon rains. You come out, there's a floating bumper that wound up on the other side of the property.
Yeah.
And it was on the grass, but it was just amazing to see everybody just stopped. Four cars, two people, four more cars. Everybody just stopped looking at this bumper floating. So evidently somebody hit it, popped off their bumper, and kept going. But how do you keep going and don't let your bumper fall off if you don't hit into it? So it must have just... Bang, something happened. I've never seen that, but...
It's the West Coast. Yes. Who knows? You know, I'm not going to just label it one Las Vegas or one thing. It's the West Coast.
Somebody came back for it or used it because it's gone.
Yeah.
Yes. The bumper magically found its way to a new home.
Did it still have its license plate
on it? No license plate. It was a Chevrolet bumper, though. So it had to be worth a couple bucks because it was all intact.
That's interesting.
Yes, it is.
So we're doing a buffet here. The next podcast that we're going to be doing is going to be on the final acting nerd, Curtis Armstrong, Booger, from Revenge of the Nerds. Now, we were also talking about how we're coming into Elvis Week at Graceland. It's a celebration of his death, I believe.
Yeah, I think 1976, I want to say.
77?
77,
it's late. We're okay. We get a pass.
Yes, we get a pass this evening. But
August 11th through the 17th, it's going to be Elvis Week at Nashville.
Wow.
And I got to thinking about it. Wait a minute. Because a year ago, we had Stacey Lee on, and we did a good podcast about Elvis.
Yes, Stacey Lee, we want to hit you up soon to maybe do a special
redo again.
Yes,
another
redo
podcast
with Elvis Week.
There's always, you just wait. There'll be another Elvis holiday coming up down the road.
Yes, yes. Especially living here in Vegas.
Yes.
I watched a video today on his YouTube. About his 6-minute, 22-second video about Suspicious Minds, 1970, and he looks really sharp.
I like that song because that's when I made the table tennis discovery.
Yes,
that
and I'll so tell you cool. what, the way he was doing his dance moves in the video on stage, it's kind of mixed with the karate he did.
Yeah.
So this was really a shame.
Well, you know, it is a shame.
He died so young.
You know, so we're going to do the Mabel Doomsday Update Vault. Or wait, I forgot to say... So, we're going to be doing Curtis Armstrong. I've kind of put the Squirrel Serendipity together. Curtis Armstrong, Booger, was wearing that Elvis costume in Revenge of the Nerds as Elvis when they did the closing song.
Yes, so you can't beat that, man. That's Squirrel Serendipity.
So they kind of come together. The squirrels align.
Yes, for our stew of buffet of nerdism.
So we're going to do the Mabel update here, Doomsday Vault update.
Got to have Mabel's own song. She's got her own theme song.
Yep.
Let's hear it. Mabel!
A household name in every family, but the one she wants so bad ain't the guy who yells like man. Hey, Mabel! Woo-hoo! Wait for me! Wait, Gabriel! Hey, I think I see her coming now. Huh? See, there's Clint and Hal. Hey, Mabel! Hey, wait for me!
Okay, I am...
Hey, Mabel, wait for us! Mabel!
I am your senior host, Smartass B. Hush.
And I'm now tofu / egg scrambled eggs or something. Let's just get into Mabel. What are you up to, Mabel?
Well, I was wanting to recap the time... This was about, 2 or 3 months ago. I didn't get talking about more, so it's a good time to do it right now. When I snuck back into Portland, Oregon, with the help of my dad and my brother... Gonna sneak in and surprise my mom on the morning of her birthday.
And Mabel knew nothing about it. How did it feel, Mabel? They pulled the wool over your eyes.
Oh, it was so good because my flight kept getting delayed. I got sent off to Seattle. My brother ends up picking me up about 9 o'clock at night. My dad leaves the back door open. I sneak in, crash, get about six. My mom had no clue this was going on. So about 7:30 in the morning, my dad rustles me, wakes me up. He goes, hey, you better wake up. Your mom's going to go outside. So I call her up on the phone while I'm still upstairs. She thinks to create the aloof that I am still in Las Vegas. And then I sneak downstairs. I sit down. She's in her easy chair, her Elvis commemorative easy chair that rocks, swivels, and rotates.
Nice.
And then I kind of clear my throat and go, And she gets up and she starts moving, starts heading for the coffee pot, and you know. So here's the audio for it.
It's a good thing you didn't scare Mabel to death.
So, oh my God. So here's the audio for it, and then I'm gonna post a video on YouTube, and then we're gonna link it all together on our Instagram accounts.
To see who Mabel really controls the doomsday vault. How does she do it? Why does she do it? Why does she put us through so much hell to get this good stuff? Why, Mabel Bell? Why?
Here we go.
I think. It's Wayne!
Wayne?
Wayne.
How did you get here?
It's Wayne?
It's Wayne?
What in the hell did you do?
What?
How did you do that? Are you for real?
I just talked to you.
You did, didn't you?
What did... Somebody lied to me. You knew about this.
How would I know anything?
I thought it was more important to come for your birthday.
Oh dear God.
You lied. You knew.
What did I lie
You
about?
Didn't say nothing.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Jeez.
Happy
birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear mother.
Doug behind this.
Happy birthday to you.
She's doing good.
That's not funny. That gave me a heart attack.
And the honored guest and all of his royalty.
I wanted to come up here.
Where did you come
royal
in?
Royal attire.
Apparently just...
You're in a bathrobe.
Well, don't all good Arabs wear bathrobes?
You're not an Arab.
How do you manage to walk in here in a bathrobe, Wayne?
Where's Doug? I'm going to beat his hind end. Somebody's lying to me.
How do you walk in here in a bathrobe?
I just talked...
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
I left you a message. When did you get in here?
Well, apparently about, let's see, 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes ago.
Barefooted in a bathroom?
Yeah.
Must have been a cold trip.
Boy, are my arms tired.
What did Doug do?
What do you mean, what did Doug do?
Did he pick you up and drop you off or what, last night? You snuck in my house? You're behind it too, just look at you.
What did I do?
Go to your cronies. What did you
do?
Talk to me, what did you do? Yes.
Before or after I robbed a bank?
Now don't get cute. How did you do this?
Do what?
You had to fly from Las Vegas to here.
Do you want to discuss it or give him a hug?
I came in and gave...
I want to discuss it.
I came in for your birthday.
You want to wrap him on the head, huh?
Well, your mom beat me.
No, you're too naughty.
Oh, wait, this one looks more painful. Here, beat me.
God. I don't understand. You don't talk!
What do you mean he doesn't talk?
He doesn't tell me what happened?
I came all the way for your birthday and you're yelling at me.
Oh dear God. Nobody's explaining nothing to me.
Well, not even a cup of coffee?
You ain't now when you start talking. When was you in on this?
I've been sitting in there with you.
No, they planned this ahead of time.
I haven't done a thing.
You're lying too.
What does that matter?
Well, I want to know. What did Doug do?
Well, I guess I better leave now.
What time did you get in here? Oh, Doug has a key. He dropped him off and opened the door. That's it. He snuck in when I was asleep.
You think so?
You know, it's your birthday. You don't have to work as a detective today.
I'm a detective every day. Good God.
I can beat... Happy birthday, Mother. I came in here for your 76th birthday.
I don't need to hear that number.
It's one too big also.
Yeah.
There went Mabel into, on her way down to the Doomsday Vault to scrutinize and not give you what she wanted to give you. Now we pay the price. I see why.
Pay the price every
Mabel
time.
Mabel is sadistic with this because you snuck in. You didn't tell her.
Oh, she wanted to know why I was there. And I did that in April. So.
Oh, my gosh. But we're still paying for it.
Here's the good news. In 2 weeks, I'm going to actually, about 12 days from the recording of the podcast today, I'm going back for the eclipse to spend it with my family for a few days. We are going to have a broadcast live with Mabel, and you're going to call in.
I'm going to call in and see what Mabel's up to in the Doomsday Vault in the wake of the eclipse. That's going to be an interesting one.
So this has been the Mabel's Doomsday Vault update. I have been Smartass B-Hush.
And Tofu, Eagle Scrammed, Bagel, whatever, is going to call in and tell Mabel, why did you put us through hell, Mabel? Why do you make us cry, Mabel? Why? All right, that was our Mabel update.
That was the Mabel update. So I got a story to tell. My turn. So you've met Mabel. Let's start. I'll just jump into it. Okay, so you've met the little girl, the little six-year-old Sine over there at Grandma's house.
Yeah, where, I think we went to the her recital, her sister's recital. She was there.
She's the little yeah. black six-year-old girl. Yeah. Very, very shy.
Yes.
Doesn't say more than one or two words to you. All right, so. Terry, I'll say, the lady I rent the room from where I live, that's her granddaughter, okay? She's been through a lot, this little girl has. You know, in and out of foster care. I'm not going to get into all the details. Just a lot of trauma for a little kid.
A lot of trauma for a little kid. She's very strong.
Is very shy, very reserved, very pulled back until she gets to know you, and then she can really trust you, and then she, you know, gets... being a little silly six-year-old.
That's good.
Okay. So this happened about, would have been 3 days ago. I got back and I don't play with her or anything. I don't watch cartoons with her or anything. But, you know, I say, hey, hi, Sine, how you doing? What you up to? You usually know more than one, two, or three words. You know, I'm good. Hi. You know, that's about it. Okay. And so this would have been about two or three days ago. I got in late, about 5, 6 o'clock. Got my plate of food, sitting down to the table in the kitchen, and she's coming in, and she comes in to see what I'm doing. Or just you know, just little bouncy, happy 6 year old, and she's carrying a Spider-Man comic book / color book.
Wow.
Okay. So I point to her little color book. I go, "Do you like Spider-Man?" And she kind of nods her head, yes. And I go, and I point at it again. Well, no, do you really, really like Spider-Man? And then she kind of nods her head, yes, a little more vigorously. So then I pull up my sleeve, showing her my Spider-Man tattoo.
Wow.
She looks back at the cover of her little color book. Then she looks at my arm again. And then I pull my sleeve back down. Her eyes got big, and this wonderment kind of went over her face. And I whisper, I go, "Do you want to see it again?" And she kind of nods her head, yes. And then so I pull my sleeve back up. I got a tattoo on my right shoulder of Spider-Man. It's about the size of your palm if you hold it flat. You can tell it's Spider-Man.
Oh, yes.
And then she looks at it again, and then she gets real close, moves in closer to me, and whispers to me, she goes, "Are you him?" So then I get down real close, and the other two ladies who live there, they're in the living room. So I get down real close to her. I go, "Can you keep a secret?" And she nods her head yes. And I go, "I am Spider-Man."
you got yourself shot in the foot on that, because eventually she's going to want to see you shoot webs from your veins and start seeing you, you know, go up and down the neighborhood from house to house. I want to see this myself.
Well, I told her, I go, "You got to keep it a secret, okay? Because I can't tell anybody." I tell her, "You know how they hear you here? Spider-Man's in New York City? No, no, I'm right here in Las Vegas. I go out at nighttime and fight crime."
Wow.
Do web slinging.
Yeah, I want to see a web sling from Aria to Cosmo to Bellagio.
I would like to see me do this too.
Oh, I would love this. Because the little girl's going to want to see this when she grows up.
Well, here's the thing. She leans in again. She goes, do you wear the costume? Now, I'm gonna backtrack. 25 years ago, or something maybe about that, when the first Spider-Man movie came out with Tobey Maguire, a few years prior to that, I actually did purchase a Spider-Man Halloween costume specifically for Halloween.
Is it Mabel's house, Mabel's vault, or is it gone?
It's gone. Eventually, I wore it out.
Wow.
But I went to, I think it was 1997 when the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movie came out. I wore the Spider-Man costume. This was cosplay.
You wear it to the
movies? I did, yes.
Oh, wow.
This is my version of cosplay, okay? And in front of me, standing in line, in front of me, there was a dad. And he was holding his little girl. She looked like maybe she was about 5, maybe 6, same age as Sine. And she kind of peeks around from her dad, looks over at me, and I wave at her. And then she just kind of waves back, and she's get this smile. And I hear her whispering to her dad. She goes, "Daddy, I'm not afraid of Spider-Man anymore." Perfect, you know?
Yeah.
It's come around full circle again.
Wow.
So, back to the story. She then, little Sine, leans into me. She goes, "You know, do you wear the do you wear the costume?" So I go, I whisper back, I go, "Yes, I do. It's in my closet. And I have to keep it well hidden. Because, you know, I can't have anybody know that I'm Spider-Man. You know that, right?" And she's like, uh-huh. She's nodding her head, yes, you know. And so it's about 7 o'clock. She's there. She's spending the night at Grandma's house. And she's getting ready to go to bed with Grandma. But then she's really jonesing and wanting to see my Spider-Man costume, okay?
Oh, boy.
Now, this gets better. This could not have fallen into a better squirrel serendipity situation at all. I have a Spider-Man throw blanket.
Oh,
that I've had for probably the same amount of time, okay? It's summertime. I'm not using it. It is a warm blanket. I'm not going to lie. But it's got Spider-Man slinging on it. It's blue. It's white. It's red. It's black. It's all rolled up and tucked in my closet. There's a small corner of it sticking out from the other clothes I got piled on. It's like if you take both your hands and hold them out flat, that flat surface there, that's about how much is sticking out on the corner. She comes into my room, and I'm at my computer doing something. And she says, "Hi," or she whispers or something. And she's looking around in my closet, and then she stops. And now, I don't realize that my blanket is there because it's out of my sight of view. But she looks up there, and she goes, "Oh, I see it."
Oh, boy.
And then I go, "How do you know that's it?" She goes, "It's red and black." And I go, she goes, "Is that really it?" I go, "Yes, it is. And I'm going to put it on later tonight after everybody goes to sleep. And I'm going to go out on the city." And she was just
pretty neat, man.
Just mystified. That. Now, here's the thing. You know, she's been very shy. No more than 1, 2, or 3 words. This little girl, I mean, it's kind of like when you're 5 or 6. You have that suspended belief of Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, the Easter Bunny, you know.
Elves and all that
elves,
good stuff.
Elf on a shelf, you know.
Elf on a shelf.
All this stuff that you can suspend belief in, and nobody is going to change your mind on it, okay?
Exactly.
She's 6 years old. She has done a 180 degrees in her personality. All of a sudden, her new best friend is Spider-Man.
Hey, that's great. Now she'll come around and just peek at your closet and say, "Hey, here it is, Spider-Man."
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to have to go out and buy another Spider-Man costume.
Yes, you are. You're going to have to dress up this Halloween and do this.
Because I was doing this dress up when I was 25, 26 or something. 25 years, 25 pounds later, I don't think I want to see me in a Spider-Man costume.
Oh, I think she does. She might have her friend she might tell. So you might be Spidey this year for Halloween.
I think I'm going to be going to or something. But I was thinking about first I'll just get a Spider-Man t-shirt.
Doesn't work.
Well, no, I'll just put the shirt on. And then so I can, like Superman opening his shirt, showing the S, I can you know, put like a white shirt on or something and go, you know, Spider-Man, you know, just to get it across.
Yeah, just to keep it going, but she's going to want to see the whole costume.
Eventually, yeah.
Yes.
But so here's, you know, she's talking. She's more.
That's awesome.
She has come out of her shell. So amazing.
That's
it's
awesome.
Like tonight she knocks on the door. She goes, "I'm going to bed." She spends the night at Grandma's. And she goes, "Good night." She's never done that. You know?
Oh, that's awesome.
She goes, "Will you watch?"
Probably wants to get a glimpse of the costume again.
She goes, "Like, will you watch Frozen with me?" I'm like, "Oh no, what if I started here?"
Well, that's what are you gonna do? Hey, but listen.
Hey, if it's turned her around,
yeah.
If it's something for the good.
I was going to say, there's somebody we know in their 30s, not mentioning any names, that acts like she's 6. And this girl's starting to act like she's 30.
Yes.
That's really good squirrel serendipity.
So, I mean, I didn't even tell Grandma, didn't tell the other lady. I'm not going to tell anybody. That's just her little secret, because I know if I tell anybody, they're going to open their mouth wrong, and the whole euphoria
thing
will just crash like a house of cards.
Yep.
And if she's talking, she's coming out of her shell, she's not being shy, building some confidence, hey, let's keep it going.
That's it. Keep Spider-Man going.
So I want to open the buffet of riffing and nerdom tonight with Aerosmith doing their version of the Spider-Man theme song.
Oh, nice.
Did you know it existed?
Probably, because Aerosmith's done almost everything from cover to cover.
They have.
I think I've heard this with the way they do this, because you know how they put MTV's all the collection and stuff, or you see it somewhere on YouTube or something. I've heard this before. I know that.
Yes, yes. So this was, I think this was the last track. This is was the last track on the soundtrack from the Spider-Man movie, which had Tobey Maguire oh so long ago. So here we go. Say, that's kind of, if I had a top 10 Aerosmith list, that would be in the top 10. All right, so where do we go now?
Just talk about how life has changed for us right now.
Who was your superhero when you were growing up? Who did you turn
to? That's a good question. Probably Batman, because I liked the original Burt Ward Batman and Robin. That was a neat show. And we didn't see it live because we were too young.
Yeah.
We saw the reruns, and I loved that show. That was really neat.
All right, what's the weirdest version of the Batman theme song you've heard to date?
Probably Prince.
Bat Dance?
Yeah.
Okay. What about,
That's what I say.
The Who. Okay, all right. Doing residency right now here in Las Vegas, The Who.
They did Batman too?
They did a Batman. Do you want to hear that one?
Yeah.
Let's start. Let's do Batman by The Who way back in, I think it was 1964. That's The Who doing their... That's the second time I've...
The third time
I've done that now, trying to talk and come in.
Well, you know what it is? It's like I was about to say. It's like you talk about how changes of life come around. Like being a nerd in the 80s, 70s, 80s to being nerds today is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Where does it differ to not differ? The word spaz, the word nerd,
geek,
dork, you know, you spazzicate or whatever they come up with, you know, like...
Spasmatic.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
But we're still all the same. We're all nerds just because we don't wear pocket protectors in classes.
Yeah.
We like older stuff.
And the thing is, a lot of people don't realize that they either are nerds or actually we, the nerds, control everything.
Exactly.
You know?
Now, I mean,
picture... Okay, let's say being a nerd in the 80s was just a lake.
Yes.
Okay. Now I think it is more like the Pacific Ocean.
Ocean, yes.
You know, because
going
into the Indian
Ocean.
Exactly. I mean, I'm getting back into doing Get Your Nerd On News podcast in the daytime, where whatever it is that pops up is what I'm going to be talking about, whether it be music or something in the nerdum. It's so vast. You can't do anything wrong.
Yeah, exactly. It's just doing what you want to do when you want to do it. Not that it's bad.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, why do you have to dress like the Kardashians, or you got to dress like, oh my gosh, like the latest one? What do you call that? New Direction, or you know, whatever the hell you call
One
it.
Direction.
Yeah, One Direction.
Something.
But the styles and stuff. What happens if you want to go to a concert? Just wear a plaid shirt and pants. What's wrong with that? Being a nerd. You know, we all don't fit the same cycle of being a pretty / model.
Well, it's like in our movie Revenge of the Nerds. We have something we want to say to all the beautiful people.
Yes.
You're not one of us.
Yes, and we just want to go through life and watch older movies and talk and, like you say, the Batman dance, watch Batman, do whatever you want to do
as
a nerd.
Here's where I got to go into the next buffet. Did you watch any of the Batman cartoons in the 70s? There were some that they did with Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I saw a lot of them, yes.
All right, do you remember there was, I want to say it lasted no more than five episodes. Where Batman, it was just Batman and Robin, and they had this little annoying sidekick they brought in called Batmite.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
I probably will when you bring it up.
Let's do it.
And they call you?
My real name's unpronounceable to humans, but you can call me Batmite!
Okay, well then.
That was really cool, the way you took care of those ninjas!
I bet you could take on three times as many.
You're not from around here, are you?
I'm from the fifth dimension. Beings from my realm have powers that you 3Ds take for magical.
A friend of mine in Metropolis told me about menaces like you.
I'm not a menace. You're my hero.
Green Arrow's gonna love this.
Green Arrow? P.U.! Flash, Plastic Man, please. They're not fit to buff your batarang. I got tired of watching those losers take up valuable screen time. So I'm here to help you take your rightful place as the greatest hero of all time!
Go home, kid.
I think we'll start with your costume.
What's wrong with my costume?
It's all wrong. Imposing, but too Dracula. Too dashing. Too campy.
Too icky.
Too confusing. Too psycho.
Stop. I don't fight crime because I want praise as a hero. I do it because there are criminals out there too dangerous for regular police to handle.
Now you're talking. I'll put you in a fight to the finish with the most powerful villain ever, and the world will see how great you are at taking him down. Here he is, Gorilla Grodd! Overexposed. I know. Solomon Grundy! No, Shaggy Man!
Calendar Man.
Calendar Man! Calendar Man?
Now, if 30 days hath September... Batman, but how? I hadn't even begun my new holiday crime spree.
I'll explain later. Take a dive.
Oof?
There.
Okay, I gotta admit, that is a new, that's gotta be Batmite 2.0, or something's going
gotcha,
on there.
Gotcha.
I wanna find the one originally from
original
the Scooby-Doo
one.
Movies. Okay, so, here's what we're gonna have to do. I'm gonna have to do a little research on Batmite, because it seems like I can't locate any of the original Batmite from the 70s around the Scooby-Doo cartoons.
Yeah, because that's probably why it's under some secret category
yeah.
that Mabel has deciphered because she read our brainwaves now, and she's mad because you showed up. Thanks, Mabel!
I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to get it. I'm going to have to sit in the pink office chair, put the double gauge chain on, and go down in,
yep.
rappel in like Batman, going up but down instead of up, and go get some original video of the Batmite.
Okay, Buffet, what was your favorite food as a kid growing up?
You know, how about what the one food that was not the favorite?
Okay, what wasn't your favorite?
Liver.
Liver.
And I'll say why, because it was A, the smell, but then it also kind of had this leftover kind of like tissue, muscle in it still.
But what superhero of the 70s ate liver, and it was his biggest fear.
Ate liver?
Yes. He couldn't do it. He was a superhero. In folk culture, one of the longest running shows, and it was an episode on his fear of liver, and he wound up eating it.
Wow. I want to say Johnny Bravo, but that's not going to be...
Fonzie and Happy Days!
Oh, Fonzie!
The liver episode. Remember that?
Yes. All right, let's get the fun. Here. Fonzie eats liver.
Oh, Fonz, what are you doing here?
Well, Mouth told me what you were up to, and I wanted to see how an investigative reporter worked, huh?
Hey, can you see through these?
Oh, Fonz. Fonz, I am really on to something. I've been watching these guys all day long.
Yeah, hey, let me take a picture of you in his outfit. You look great.
No, Fonz, this is not a very good time.
Hey, stand
there. Smile. Hold your broom. Here we go. The cook is coming back.
Hey, smile. Didn't talk.
All right. Listen, do me a favor. Get up against the counter here. Get up against the counter. All right, hold it. Oh, that's great. All right, now talk.
Well, this is bigger than I thought, Fonz. They're selling the good meat, and they're giving the bad meat to the kids. I got to take some pictures of this stuff. Hey, listen, Fonz, could you take the pictures? Because, see, I want to look in the books for a minute, okay? I'll explain later. Oh, this is really big time. These guys are really crooked. Fonz, you're not taking any pictures.
I can't take any pictures.
Yeah, well, I know it's bad meat, Fonz, but see, that's why we want to take pictures of it.
It's not the meat, it's that in the pan.
Oh, well, this is good, Fonz. There's nothing wrong with this. It's just liver.
Get that away from me. Everybody has got weaknesses. Superman had kryptonite.
Fonz, are you afraid of liver?
I am not afraid, no. I'm not afraid. Just get it away from me.
You just don't like it because it's all wet-looking and drippy and brown.
Hey, listen, how would you like to be wet and drippy and brown?
I wouldn't like that. I'll take the pictures.
Yeah. Listen, I don't like that, I don't eat that, and I don't go around with guys that hang out with that.
Okay, so we're taking the fist, wrapping it on the jukebox, wrapping it on something to loosen something, let something go, fix something, make something right. Did you ever have that gift? Did anything ever happen to you in your life that occurred?
Not like Fonzie.
It did to me once. One time.
Let's hear it.
So at the time, this will be about 1991. I was driving from Portland/Corvallis, Oregon to San Diego.
Oh, wow.
I was taking this girl who I liked. She didn't know I liked her, but she was going to the university down there. I said, you know, you're what, 18, 19, you're stupid, young. Sure, I'll drive 2,000 miles and bring you all your stuff, not a problem, to see you. So I start driving. This is the middle of winter. This is like February, driving through the mountain passes. I'm in about, maybe 200 miles from the Bay Area. Bad weather, torrential rains, just not, no, you don't want to be out there. I'm tired because I had worked a 12-hour shift, and then I got up and I started making the drive at 8 a.m.
What does Mabel think about this?
Mabel doesn't know about this one.
Wow.
But I had this little old Datsun, or no, an old Toyota pickup truck. This is when they used to have the really small cabs. You know, you just one seat, front and passenger, nowhere to hardly put
Nothing
anything.
Nothing else to put anything or anybody else.
Small in the back. And I start driving, and I'm tired. I stop at a rest area about 200 miles north of Frisco. Stop at a rest area there. Bad weather. I go use the bathroom, and then that feeling comes over to you of, oh no, did I just lock my keys in my car or my truck?
Oh boy.
And it's that feeling of panic because you pat around your pockets. Oh no. And I'm tired. I don't know what to do. I'm going around, and I go up to the truck, and I look, and there's the keys looking back at me. And I'm just like, oh, Jason. There's no cops around. This is before cell phones. The cell phone that's there, the phone booth is not in order. Nobody's coming or going, maybe some truckers. There's nobody around. And I'm just, you know, I'm trying to pull on the handle thing, to push the window down. And I'm like, oh, gosh, I got to do it. I got this big 4x4 piece of wood, for some reason, in the back of my car, truck, okay? I don't know why I'm carrying it. It's about the size of maybe your forearm, but it's a good 4x4 inches long.
What did you do?
Well, I figured, that's it. I gotta break my window, because I can't stay here, but at least with a broken window, at least I can still make my journey, and I can deal with this later down the road. I got an appointment I gotta get to, okay? What possible love makes you do stupid things, okay? So I pick up the big piece of wood, and I get ready. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to hit this hard and make it break so I can get in. I get back, take aim, full force, wham! Boom! I hit the glass.
Doesn't break.
It doesn't break. But do you know what happens? The vibration, the impact of the wood made the lock mechanism let go, and the lock popped up.
Wow. You sure Fonzie didn't just bang it for you, and you didn't know it? Maybe it was the Fonz/Batman doing it? Wow, yeah, that's pretty cool story.
Well, I mean, but it's just like, the look on my face was, oh, what? Like, did this just happen? I'm like, I just did a Fonzie move, you know?
Wow.
I remember right there, it's like, I'm going to remember this and probably tell it down the years down the road.
And now it's on the Squirrel Podcast, our buffet edition. Today we're just a little slow on things because, we talk about a lot of different things. We're in the summer.
This is why we're doing the summer edition.
We're doing the 45s, doing Madonna, doing this Springsteen, the Monkees. So what do you really want to talk about? Okay, well, let's talk about how fast our holidays go as you get older, it seems. Like, July 4th was just right around the corner.
It goes faster, but I'm realizing how much nonsense I don't want to put up
with
people.
Exactly. So you just want to do your day, get your jail, get out of free car. Like yes. The guy from Mike and Molly, we saw at the Orleans, tell everybody. You deal with it, and you're like, that's it. Get the fuck out of jail. I want to come home,
yes.
Have a beer, have a soda, coffee, and just zone out, watch television, whatever.
Focus more on it. I tell you, it's like the little interaction I'm having with this little six-year-old kid.
Yeah, that's probably better than you're having with most adults.
Yeah, that's just it. This is probably the most healthiest thing.
That's it.
Because I'm not going to tell the other adults.
No.
Because one of them's going to blah, 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 and then just boom, blow that's the whole it. Thing out of
so
head.
That's why we just throw different stuff like Happy Days, Superman, Batman. We're just throwing out nerd stuff.
Well, I was talking about Batmite, and I said kind of like Kazoo from Fred Flintstone.
Exactly.
Let's do a little Kazoo.
What do us dum-dums want, Fred?
Well, Hey, I get it. We're having a dream, Bond.
Oh, thank goodness. I was getting worried.
You doubt the powers of the great Kazoo? Take that. And that.
Gee, this is great, but our wives won't recognize us.
Oh, great Kazoo. Could we be back to our normal size, please?
Of course.
Your wish is my command.
Okay. Almighty Kazoo, I'd like a big juicy Bronto burger. Hey, it works! How about $20?
Hey, my turn. I want a beautiful new dress for my wife.
Me too. I want a beautiful new dress for my wife.
I'd like a gym set for Bam Bam.
I'd like a new doll for Pebbles.
We need some garden furniture.
We need a new dining room set.
New golf clubs.
A fishing pole.
Bowling ball.
Have your fun, fellas. But take heed, greed brings trouble. Which is now approaching. An officer of the law, I believe.
And you explain all this to him, will you, Kazoo?
I can't. You two are the only ones who can see me. All right, what's going on? What's all this stuff?
Oh, well, it just, But we just found it.
Oh, you found it, huh? Out here in the middle of the road, huh? Right, citation number one, failing to report stolen property.
Oh, this property wasn't stolen. It's ours. We were taking it home.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you were, huh? Right, citation number...
All right, so that's when Fred Flintstone and Barney meet the great Kazoo, and only they can see him.
Kazoo? I thought it was with a K.
That's what I thought, but it's the great Kazoo.
Oh, my gosh. You know, getting into something else, though, if you could pull up this one, Sabretooth... where they turn around and they pulled the one up where they got robbed and they didn't really get robbed from the betting when they went to the track. And one was said, Fred's not supposed to gamble because he's got a gambling
problem. Oh, yeah, where
problem.
Fred goes...
That was a good one.
Arnold over marbles. That's nerd too, marbles.
That was a good one. Fred Flintstone...
You wouldn't want to welch on a bet, Mr. Flintstone. Oh, my gosh.
Here it is.
That may not be the particular one, but you're...
Hey, Fred, open up.
What do you want?
How about a game of marbles, Fred?
Marbles? Come right in, boy. I need somebody to practice with. I have to get real good.
Why, Fred?
I got my reasons.
Hey, tell you what, Fred. We'll play for a nickel if you want to bet.
Bet?
Oh my God.
I remember because we would drive our teacher crazy the next day in school, and we were told we could only do that during lunch and recess.
Okay. Did you used to have a lunchbox when you were growing up?
I had like there's always those lunchboxes you wanted, but then you always kind of got the default one.
Which one did you wind up getting?
I wanted Speed Racer.
Okay.
I wanted the Speed Racer lunchbox because I loved Speed Racer at the time. And then I think I ended up getting stuck with some kind of a circus motif.
I think I wound up with, Spider-Man, but for some reason, I want to say a cowboy, but it just doesn't jolt the memory, though. You know what I mean?
It's
like watching the Spider-Man cartoons. Like, you know, they were really, like, violent, the original ones, you know,
yeah.
with...
Well, do you remember the Spider-Man cartoon from the late 80s that had Iceman and Firestar?
Yeah, yeah.
I was, for a long time, I was not able to talk. Nobody could remember Firestar, and it was Iceman at all. His name.
Because they were like older characters, and it was kind of like dying out the cartoon thing. Yeah. Getting older, it's phasing out for you.
I mean, this is a squirrel serendipity thing. Again, I'm talking to a little kid who actually can make more sense than some adults these days, even though the adults are making sense like the little kids.
Yes, because of modern technology mushes your brain.
Yeah. So this is when we were still at casting call. I can't remember the person's name who worked there, but he had the little four-year-old girl, four and a half, that he would bring in.
And he worked there?
He worked there.
What did he do?
I can't remember. He was one of the teachers there. So I was
Rob?
Wasn't Rob, but it was somebody.
Wasn't Art.
It was one of the other irregulars or something. But it was brought this little girl in and told her, I'm waiting for improv to start, 6 o'clock hour. And it's 5 minutes till. I don't know how I ended up, how I started in this conversation about Firestar. And she goes something, she's like making I'll be Firestar. I'll melt it. And I said to her, I go, how do you know about Firestar? And she looks at me and she goes, Boomerang, duh. the cable network that runs all the old cartoons.
Wow.
And I'm just like, good grief. Nobody has remembered this for 20 years. And finally, a little four-year-old gets on the same level with me. And I think I had a little conversation talking about, like, well, who do you like better, Iceman or Firestar? Firestar, duh, she's a girl. I mean, it was so cute and funny at the same time.
I think that's kind of when you got to be 18 and late 80s, I was 18. You didn't watch cartoons, but I don't know. Bugs Bunny.
I'm going to confess. Remember, Super Friends have been there with you, with Marvin and Wendy.
Yes.
And you grew up and through your point in time, junior high.
Yes.
But there was a point in time when you said, I'm too old for this.
Yes.
I'm done.
100%.
I think I watched it up to about 1984, my sophomore, junior year. By the time I got a little bit older, I had to stop watching Super Friends.
Because
they did. I got to look it up. I just started watching the edition they did for 1985.
Didn't they have the Super Friends activate with the rings or something like that?
Zan and Jaina.
Yes.
Wonder Twin Powers activate.
Yes. I watched all that stuff. But you get to a point, then you get into movies, you know?
Yeah.
I loved talking about the 80s, not just Madonna's Desperately Seeking Susan. Griffith Dunn was in a movie. Trying to think with...
the less known movie that she did.
No. This was them with Soho, where they were with Cheech and Chong. It was like a really bizarre movie about they thought he was a robber and stuff.
Yeah,
and they were like,
bizarre movie.
It was, because Soho, like, they were like searching for him with flashlights and stuff. But this is the 80s Soho.
Yeah.
Everybody's like,
yeah,
the bizarre hair looks, they're wearing chains. And
here's what I'm doing. I'm starting to go back and I'm watching. They only did like 9 episodes. They called it the Superpowers or Galactic Protectors show. I'm starting to watch Super Friends again.
Well, that's cool.
I'm picking up where I left off from 1984 into this new edition that was 1985, but it's new to me.
That's cool. Do you remember, talking about being a nerd growing up, do you remember the guns where it used to shoot little discs?
Caps!
No, not caps. It used to put the discs in and shoot those yellow discs.
No, I don't. Oh, yes, I do.
Yes, remember? And you would shoot them and go boom, boom. And you thought like you were either a super friend or you were like, what's his name, John Wayne. Or G.I. Joe, something like, boom, boom, you know.
All right.
This is being young nerds,
When you were a very young nerd, did you and other kids in the neighborhood or family, little brothers or sisters, play Super Friends?
We might have, because we used to turn around and play hide and seek.
Yeah.
We would play telephone, I remember that game, and all kinds of different stuff. So
we
might have. I think we could have, because we had the base. Like, you know how they had their thing?
The Hall of Justice.
Exactly.
Yeah. We would play Super Friends, and I would always make it mandatory. I am Spider-Man and Superman. I will play both parts. And I would say to my little brother, Doug, I'd say, you're going to be Batman, and you can be Robin.
Oh, okay. So how did little Doug take it?
He kind of did. I mean, I'm the oldest brother. I'm in charge, you know.
But I said, how did he take it? Did he like it or be like,
he took it.
He
took it no matter what.
Now, before our time, they said if you were bad, there was two things you would get: castor oil or Felsnap the soap to straighten out bad mouths.
I've never had either of those.
No, but you've heard of them.
I've heard of them, yes.
So it's like they were like really potent, disgusting, like,
yep.
Ugh, putrid. Kind of like Joe Pinacqua, whatever he was, puck up with Springsteen we talked about.
Yeah. So, well, from the movie The Christmas Story, when little Ralphie gets the soap, you know.
Yes, Felsnap the soap. But he got his gun, and he didn't shoot his eye out, but he broke his glasses, though.
Yeah. Oh, fudge. But I didn't say fudge. All right, let's wrap up this podcast. What song should we take on out? Where are we heading with this? What do you
know,
think?
You know, why don't we just play something like, how about Rocket Man? Because we're just going to take off to the moon in our thoughts.
I got a better one that's going to top Rocket Man.
All right.
The theme song from The Greatest American Hero.
Oh, okay. I love that.
Joey Starberry.
What's his name? William Cat.
William Cat.
Yeah, that was great. Because when he first got the suit, he didn't know how to fly.
Yes.
He was learning and he was crashing into the buildings, remember?
Now, you know, they were going to be doing a reboot of that. Actually, they did start to make a sequel where there was a Greatest American Heroine.
No.
The girl version of this.
Who was supposed to play this?
I don't know. I guess I got a little bit of homework. I got to dig up something on Batmite, and I got to dig up something on this Greatest American Hero.
Next Monday is Booger, though.
Next Monday is Booger.